This reminds me of camp. We did a lot of that. Sound system was kind of a little haywire, but we were always constantly, it would cut in and out of us, and we'd have to make some adjustments. It's neat that our song this evening is The Love of God, and how wonderful it is that He died for us. And that was the first message at the camp, was focusing on the love of God. And it was kind of interesting because I think there was an element of, I don't know, I think there's, not that you can sense something, I don't know, but from the testimonies and the response of the kids, there was kind of a sense that, oh no, I'm come to camp, and God's going to speak about the sin that I'm dealing with. it's kind of this bracing yourself, and it was just a really neat message to start off the whole week, and pointing towards the love of God that He has for them, and it just kind of just took out all the pressure and the stress and realized, you know what, God's not here to, He is going to correct me, He's going to lead me, but He is here because He loves me. And I think that really did help set the week on a great foundation, and it was a good week, lots of decisions and things. And so we have an opportunity this evening for those who went to, we talked about the faithfulness of the Lord and His mercy towards us and our songs this evening, and I hope that everyone who's gone to camp has a testimony, has something where they can point to and say, hey, this is what God has done for me. This is how He spoke to me. And as I remind them on Thursday night, we have a testimony time during that time that God uses the words of, and God's going to use your words, young people, we don't necessarily need this. They won't listen to me if they're walking. Oh, good, good. No, you're fine. That's good. So, no, I think it's wise. We'll put the slides on as soon as we're over with the service, so you can keep watching. If you didn't get a chance to see some of the pictures, that's what Kenny was trying to make sure that we got a chance to see those, but we'll do that right after the service. That'd be good. So, I'm looking forward to how I said that in faith. I just know that that's true. God uses the testimony of young people. A young man gets up there, gives a testimony, and he kind of felt led by the Lord to kind of impress anyone that was not saved to get saved that evening. And one of the young men that we've been praying for, Calix, from a church there in Kansas, he recognized he'd been resisting the Lord all week long. And he knew he wasn't saved, and that night he went and found the pastor who brought him and said, I need to get saved tonight. And so it really is neat. God's going to use you young people again right here. And so be responsive to the Lord. If He's prompting you to say something, it may feel, but you just say what God wants you to say, and God, through His Holy Spirit, will use that. So I'm going to invite our campers and those that are staff that would like to give a testimony to come up, and we'll conform lines on either side here, and we'll do what we do normally on our testimony night, make it simple and repeat that. So. All right, more than one person. Oh, good, thank you so much. Someone has to lead the way, and very good. I'm going to give people a chance to get up here. So, okay, all right. All right, Cassandra, since you are brave and bold. No, all right. All right.
The Lord really spoke to me about there's this one challenge in the morning time where it's where this one of the pastors talked about being men of God, and there's all these different things in that small challenge, and it really spoke to me, my heart, and I want to be a man of God and not just a man that pleases Himself. And I the whole week was, all the services were good and impacted my life, and I've just devoted my life to the Lord and given it to Him.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
This year at camp, I really learned that you need to forgive how Jesus forgave you, and to forgive and forget. Another thing is that God has given us a second chance, because we've sinned so many times that, like, we would be useless if He didn't forgive us. And I just wanted to thank Pastor for taking all of us and being willing to take us.
Glad glad to do it.
I just want to thank those who prayed for us and those who sent their campers and those who gave us money financially to go. I got the youngest cabin, which I have never had before, and it was a really fun time, and God taught me a lot through that. And the message that he really spoke to me about was, he was talking about how we're in a war against Satan, and how we need to be aware of him and resist him. And I know, like, in my life personally, that was speaking to me, but not just my heart in my life, but also how I can help my kids to not let Satan in to fight this war. It can be so easy for us just to let the world in our home, but it's not what we need to do, and we need to teach them to fight, not let Satan in.
I just learned at camp that I need to trust God. If I back out, there will be judgment. I need to just do what he wants me to do.
Well, everything helped me, but I'm in the back. I've been not wanting to be a teen to grow up worldly. I want to be a godly teen, so I'm in the back and asked for some ideas, and I got some, and I read, and it's been helping so much.
The Lord spoke to me about forgiving others because God has forgiven us something greater than what we have to against others. We need to forgive and forget whatever people do to us. And I also learned to be content in what stage you are, even though you have to wait. You have to learn to wait, even though, like, the children of Israel had to wait 40 years to go in the promised land. Well, Caleb did. And I want to learn to wait and be content to where I am so that I can be letting God use me in what stage I am so that he can teach me to do other things that are bigger for me when I grow up.
Thank you. I just want to praise the Lord for his providence in the Sunday morning message last week that Pastor preached. It was just some specific things that I was convicted about that I needed to get right, and that really helped prepare me for the week of preaching, and made it easier to just be tender to the Holy Spirit, and it's just on a personal level. We have one of the things that we do throughout the week is the God and I time, and they have specific questions to help guide the camper so they're not just sleeping in their bunks or daydreaming. And the passage was Psalm 119. We went through part of that. And the questions were very pointed at the end of it. Just, if you know anything about Psalm 119, just how the psalmist depends on God's word and longs for God's word. And there's some very strong wording about, what the word of God means to him. And the questions were very specific about, can you honestly pray this? Can you say this in your life? And I just appreciated the challenge there. And then the messages were very helpful and nothing new. Just all messages we would have heard already. But when you're away for a week and you build on top of each other, it makes a big difference. And just messages that we all needed. And I've had a chance to talk to some of these young people about decisions that they made this week. And I know if they will stick with those, it'll make a difference in our church. And I'm excited just about what I've seen and heard this week from them. And then in the cabin that I had the oldest cabin. It was interesting. We had one from our church in that cabin, but most of the guys in that cabin, you have a mix. But there was three guys who came together, and between the three of them, they had about 18 pairs of shoes. I'm not kidding. I took a picture because they were all lined out, I said something to their pastor about it, just joking around, and because it was funny to me. He said something to one of the boys about it, and he said, "Oh, actually, I have several more in my luggage that I didn't even take out." Anyway, the point was they had all these shoes, and there was another guy who brought several swords, and and some other things. And my thought, honestly, was these guys are not, you know, they're not focused on, you know, spiritual things. They came to, you know, do whatever with their hobbies. And yet several of those guys were just to see their tenderness in the service and to talk to some of them after about decisions they made. It was just neat to see God working in their hearts when it appeared as if their focus, and maybe it was when they got there, at the beginning, their focus wasn't what it should be, but God just worked in their heart. And just want to praise the Lord for, despite obstacles, Him doing a work in the hearts of the young people that were there.
I learned to be patient for what I have and to forgive others.
Well, the Lord just spoke to me about being a better witness. While we were there at camp, He gave an illustration about a young teenager who got saved, and he wanted to go to visitation right away. And he came, and he was able to lead several teenagers to the Lord. And that really convicted me on being a better witness for Him.
All the messages really spoke to me, but there's one in particular. It was about taking action and getting the job done. And that's something I need to do in day-to-day tasks, but not only just the normal jobs that I have, but making sure everyone knows about Jesus.
What spoke to me at camp is why the services.
This year at camp, I committed my life to God so I could be a better witness for Him.
This year at camp, I made the decision to just take more action and not just to sit around and be selfish, but to tell others about Him.
All the messages really spoke to me, and I made a decision this year that I wanted to serve Him more. And one of the messages was like, this is war. That really spoke to me, and obstacles and forgiveness.
So I didn't have the youngest cabin, which was totally different for me. But I had like the tween age. But one message that helped me get through the week with the cabin was to address the negative situations. And normally I run from them and I hate confrontation, but that message really touched my heart because I don't address those situations at home either. And the Lord showed me that I should not run away from them at home as well.
All right, thank you for the testimonies, and I just express my appreciation for our young people and their response to the word, but also particularly for our counselors. And you know, there's an aspect of I'm on the side of things that are like trying to keep the organizational things going, and yet the counselors are doing everything with the kids 24/7, 5 days, the whole 5 days, and there's just a lot of work there, and so. My heart's going out to them all week long, knowing all that the time that they're putting in from early morning to late at night, and still making themselves available to help the young people and to teach them, and great appreciation for the work that our staff has done to help this year. I just wanted to share something. The memory passage for the week that they were memorizing, and quite a number of our kids memorized the totality of Psalm 91. And one of my downtimes that I enjoy, or at least I make time for, is to go down and be a part of the Bible quizzing that they do. And so they're answering Bible questions. But then there's also, following that, is the Bible memory section. And I just love to be down there for juniors and for seniors and just be available for them to say verses to me. And so I had an opportunity to think through this passage a good bit, and kind of a burden for them even to understand this passage, because the Psalms are beautiful and they're a blessing in every place, but Psalm 91 is special. And I was so glad that they got a chance to memorize this. And it begins off with a very important verse that I was glad that all of them had, most of the campers there had memorized at least one or two verses, but many have gone much further than that. But you start off the bat in Psalm 91, verse 1, it says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." And so it's identifying a person who is dwelling or at home, that this is the place where they stay. What is the place that they stay? It's the secret place of the Most High. So you begin to question, start thinking through, what does it mean? What is the secret place of the Most High? I think that as we look towards this, this has to be the place where you get alone, away from the world. That's why it's a secret place. It's away from everything else. It's a time for you to get alone with God Almighty. We're going to look at how the psalm kind of expands on that and what it means to be there. But this is talking about a relationship with God and intimacy with Him. So that you get alone and talk with Him, and this is a place that you are comfortable with. You know, too many times we can get to a place where we go to prayer with God and we're like, okay, I made it. I got to the place where I'm supposed to pray. But we don't feel very comfortable. And I think there's an aspect of, just like any relationship, you've got to grow in your knowledge of Him and in your knowledge of the Word. But the more that you spend time with Him and the more that you pray with Him, the more that this fellowship with Almighty God will become your delight. And so when you run to the secret place, what is it? He's saying the person who does this shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. So you can kind of see that there's a progression in the verse, and yet there's some similarities, that the secret place and the shadow are the same place. And this, and so there's a part here that says the basic meaning of the verse is, if you will run to God, spend time with Him, and make your relationship with Him so important that you are, I'm going to use some of the words that are going to come up here, that you are trusting Him, you are depending upon Him for all things, and that this is, God is your God, He is going to protect you. He is going to, you're going to have the shadow. It means that He is, you're right underneath Him. Nothing can get to you because of who He is. He explains what this is when he says, "I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust." So when we look at this aspect of refuge and fortress and I will trust, it means that you are taking God and saying, God, I depend upon you. I need you, God. We have to start here and just think of it on a personal level. How many of us need God? How many of us need Him to be a fortress for us that we can run into? You say, well, there's no one attacking me. There's no danger. Well, if there's no danger and there's nothing attacking you and you've got no problems, I mean, there is no need for a refuge or a fortress. So that really does require from us to realize the danger that we're in. So what are the dangers for us? What are the things that scare you? Hopefully you're not going to say in your mind, the stock market. There's an aspect they say, I'll explain to you what's in my heart. You know what scares me? My flesh. Apart from the Lord, there go I. There I fall. I can't accomplish anything for the Lord. And I need Him so desperately. I'm a father. And so, do I know that Satan is wanting to prey upon my children? Absolutely. He wants them to choose sin, choose wickedness. He wants to harden their hearts. He wants to pull them away. I honestly believe as a father, if I'm not walking with God, I know God can work in their hearts apart from me, But I know that I cannot pray and ask him and depend upon him unless I'm in the secret place. And I'm running to him and saying, God, my refuge, my fortress, I need you. And then there's an aspect of to lead a church and to lead us in the path of saying, following the Lord. I mean, there's an aspect, my needs are great. I hope that might stir in your own heart that you say, wow, I have great needs too. I need a fortress. I need a refuge from the attacks of Satan and wickedness and sin that are going on around us. And I think it's interesting that it says, my refuge, my fortress, my God. What does it mean for God to be your God? It means that you put your trust in Him. Do you know that whatever you put your trust in, that's your God? So the Bible talks about putting our trust in money. It'll talk about putting our trust in ourselves. I can get out of this jam. I can figure things out. And we think, oh, no, I've got plans. I've got a future. And I'm living for myself, or I'm living for this goal. Those are the things that I am looking to satisfy me, to fulfill me. I'm trusting in that. That's my God and not Him. So the secret place of the Almighty is the place in which you come in absolute dependence upon God. Do you feel strong? No. You feel weak. You feel attacked. You feel in need. But you're crying out to God and saying, God, please, I need you. I trust in you. I'm claiming you. You're my God. You're my fortress. You know what the promises of God are? Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare or the trap of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. Here's the picture of a baby bird running underneath a mama bird's wings and her feathers. And she opens up and they all flock underneath her. And He says, just trust. Get close to me. Get in my secret place, close to my breast, and you'll have the shadow of my wings. He says His truth, the idea there is His absolute truthfulness or faithfulness to us and to His word, shall be thy shield and buckler. Buckler, another word for shield. I will protect you is what He's saying. You put your trust in me, you will not be ashamed that you look to me as your God. Thou shalt not be afraid, nor for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand. It shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. It's going to come upon them. And He says, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. You live with God. You choose to walk with Him. You choose to make Him your God in fellowship with Him. He's going to protect you. He's going to bless you. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling, for He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee, preserve thee. That idea there. In all thy ways they shall bear thee up, lest in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, and the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Do you recognize some of those words there? Anyone tell me who spoke those words? This is like Bible quizzing. Who raised? Jesus is saying. All right, very close. Yeah, yeah, very good. You're in the right spot. Exactly. But Satan spoke those words to Jesus. And Satan was absolutely right. Because this passage is God the Father talking to God the Son. He's going to go on, He says, because now the whole passage has been talking about God to the Son. He speaking, thou, 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 thou. And then in the very last three verses, it says, because He, who's He talking about? It's because He's talking about Jesus. because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. So now we've got two more descriptions of the secret place and the fortress and the trust. It's setting your love upon him, your affection, your desire in him. And he says, he hath known my name. He knows who I am, my character, because he's gotten close to the Lord. And what's so beautiful is it says, he shall call upon me. When we're in the secret place, what's happening? You're communing with God. You're talking to him. You're calling upon him. And he says, and I will answer him. Now I want us to take a step back. There's a reason why I'm trying to make the point here. We're talking about Jesus in this passage because it's quoted in relationship to Jesus. Do you doubt that God the Father would answer God the Son? Is there a smidgen of doubt in your mind? For me, I say no. God the Son was, he says, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. Psalm 2 says, ask of me, I will give it to you. God the Father is just overjoyed with God the Son. Why? Because he always does those things which are pleasing in his sight. Oh, it's so beautiful. Yeah, absolutely, it's going to take place. And he says, I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Oh, God has done all those things for his Son. But what is so beautiful is when I understand that when I trusted Jesus Christ, that he placed me in the Son. And I have the same right, the same standing before the Lord as Jesus Christ. So that now all that is true about Jesus is now true for me. You think about the communion that Jesus had. Do you think Jesus prayed before he went to sleep? Think he just talked to his Father? When he woke up, do you think he got up early in the morning and prayed to the Lord? We actually know of passages that talk about that. You know, we know that he was dependent upon the Father. He says, I don't do anything except I see it of my Father. I'm depending, I'm trusting upon him. That was his life. Jesus lived his life in the secret place. And he was underneath the shadow of the Almighty. Does that mean that no problems ever came to him? He never had a hardship, never died? No, he went through God's plan for him, and yet God honored him. God did deliver him. God used him and exalted him. And you know what Jesus' main ministry is right now? Calling upon the Lord, interceding for you and me, and God says, I will answer him, and he will answer us. So I'd like to encourage us. You know, I know that every decision that these young people made absolutely can last their entire life, because the power for the change comes from abiding in the secret place. You dwell there and you will have a source of strength and power to live a life in that Jesus Christ lived. But as soon as we get away and begin to live our life as if that's kind of a negotiable, take it or leave it, maybe I can get there, I hope I wake up in time, I hope that that's important enough in my life, I wish it was more important, but it's not something that we fix our heart on and say, this is my life, I have to be with my God. We have to live with that kind of determination. As we get away from that, we will be powerless. We will not live in the victory that God wants us to have. And so I hope we can be encouraged that God will answer our prayers. We trust him. respond to God as our God, and live in the secret place. Let's pray. Dear Father, I thank you so much, Lord, for your word, the beauty of this passage, the example.